Cinéphile. Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to our Fans of Films with a French Touch. Alicia Rohrwacher puts on kid gloves to cast a critical eye on Italian society in Happy as Lazzaro, while in The Mumbai Murders, Anurag Kashyap makes no bones about violence, as he says, more than latent in society today. Both films released in France this November.
Ça tourne.
First, Happy as Lazzaro, best screenplay at the Cannes Film Festival this year. It is divided into two parts, a time of pastoral innocence and a time of urban innocence, where the poor continue to be poor, rural depopulation or not. It's told like a children's fairy tale with a ton of imagination, and there's good and evil. Alicia Rohrwacher came to Paris for the launch of her latest film, which again features her versatile sister, Alba Rohrwacher.
So yes, I really exactly want to make a world black and white, or like from the point of view of a child. This is why I took so many images and so many names and so many situations from fairy tales. There is a wolf, there is a forest, there is a house that is seems the house of an old marquise from fairy tales, and there are the people from the countryside. Of course, there is a big judgment. I want to make this because I want to tell that there are responsibilities. Of course, the movie is more complex, so this world that is black and white, we enter in this world with the eyes of Lazzaro. And Lazzaro, he can't recognize colors. So if there is black or white, for him, it's the same color. So he will be open to everyone with his heart. So to the devil, to the god, to the so the black, to the white. So he's not. So I think we try to build a world as a fresco. Of Giotto with a very, very big simplicity of the space, and everything have to be very clear, have to be very symbolic. But then we enter in this world that is maybe seems to be in a fairy tale with the eyes of innocence.
You mentioned God. There's also the sense of hubris where the people who are in the hamlet of the pure, then they leave and it all starts to unravel when the young couple get married and she wants to go away and he wants to stay. Is there a sense of hubris? Is there a sense of religion?
I mean, in the movie there are two religions, let's say. There is the official one that is, in this case, is the Catholic one, because we are in Italy, and I think this religion is part of the problem, because in fact is something that the Marquise use to keep people in the ignorance. So it's not something that make people free, but it's something that make people trapped. Then there is another religion in the movie that is a sense of religiosity. And Lazzaro is a saint, but it's a saint from prehistoric time. It's a saint out of any institution or official religion. He's like a saint, an anarchist. But what I think that is important, that in this movie there is a big sense of spirituality and a symbolic approach. That is something that also the official religion use to communicate things. But so the name Lazzaro, of course, it's the name of Lazzaro of the Bible. Everyone in the Inviolata have names from Bible, because they don't have a lot of imagination. They can just learn stories from saints, Bible. But the meaning of Lazzaro in Italy is also a poor man that have nothing. So that is living in the street, have nothing, and I pass through the street and I say, ah, look, this is a Lazzaro. No, so happy Lazzaro, Lazzaro Felice is someone that have nothing to lose, is happy.
The family of the Marchesa, then, does that represent the power that there is in Italy today, as you would see it, where even when they lose everything, they're just as mean to the people from the countryside, that they're those who were their slaves, really, their serfs?
Yes, I think this is the story about people that never enter in the class struggle, because they are outsider even in the class struggle, and then they, in the future, in the present, they are also outside from the individual struggle. So they are the outsider of the every struggle. They are never in the center of the history. The only moment the people from Inviolata, the light of the history shine on them, just when they have to cross the river, when they have to pass from the First World to the Second World. Because in the beginning of the movie we see all these people trapped in a place. They don't imagine they can go out. And in the second part also they can't go out from the world.
In fact, they're stuck by a motorway or by a peripheral road that goes around the city. They're on the edge of the city. We have to talk about Lazzaro, who is so engaging on screen. Did you meet a lot of actors?
Adriano Tardiolo, who plays Lazzaro, was his first time as actor. I don't think he wanted to be an actor, but he loved to make this movie. And he's a student of economy. But when I met him, I immediately knew it's him. For this character, for Lazzaro, I was looking I didn't know exactly. I was looking actors or non-actors, but I was looking for a person that shares something with the character. That was very difficult, because it's character that will never, never show himself in a casting. So you can't find someone like Lazzaro in a casting. You have to find by accident. So it was an accident, and we found him with Chiara Polizzi, the casting director, and I knew he's the only person he can do it. What I think you can see through the movie, that in fact, even if he was not an actor, he is acting in an incredible way.
It must have been incredible directing somebody who's not an actor to get him to that point. And you're part of a new generation where there are more women film directors. But perhaps that's not so easy in Italy. We do see more women film directors coming up in France than in Italy.
Yes, of course, women start to vote in Italy and to express themselves in the life, in the political life of the country, very late. And they start to be active part in everything very late. So we are late, I think, in the history. So about the place of women, we are working on it. I think now things are changing. Of course, when you ask to me why, it's like if you ask to someone that survive to a catastrophe, why the catastrophe arrived, and it's not, I don't know. You have to ask in the beginning of, before the catastrophe, you have to ask in the beginning of the chain, to the people that have schools, to the people that give money, to the people that decide which project have to be supported. And even before, you have to enter in the schools and ask this to teachers, why there are not women in Italy, so few women that can express themselves. Why? I think this is a question I can just answer with an action. I'm trying to do movies as a woman and as a director. And the problem in Italy is that the adjective feminine, there is a unconscious synonym that is fragile, something that is not very important, that is very delicate, that can break. And what I can do is to be a woman and do a movie that have also the another side of feminine. So a movie that is also strong, a movie that is also somehow wild. And to tell people, you know, feminine means many, many different things, not just fragile.
Lazzaro! Ma tu sei?
Take two.
It's taken 2 years for Indian director Anurag Kashyap's renamed The Mumbai Murders to release in France after it screamed in the director's fortnight in Cannes in 2016. Did I say screamed? I meant screened. It went under the title of Raman Raghav 2.0. This film, co-written by Vasant Bala, is based on the real-life serial killer Raman Raghav in the 1960s, and it's chilling. The lead actor is Nawazuddin Siddiqui, who is the most scary we've seen him in Europe in this film. He appeared this year at Cannes in something completely different, actually, as the 1940s writer Hassan Sarat Manto in Nandita Das's film Manto. Manto's most violent gesture was probably to break a bottle. Meanwhile, in The Mumbai Murders, Kashyap turns his attention, as in previous films like Ugly, to the cops. Not as goodies and baddies, but bad and bad. The cop in this film is a drug addict and also becomes a murderer.
एक आदमी उसकी दूसरी बीवी और छोटा बच्चा
सब रमन नाम है उसका कभी अपने आप को रमन बोलते हैं कभी राम और कभी रावण
कुंताप को रोज दिखता है बाहर बैठता है
Kashyap, on the jury in the Three Continents Film Festival in Nantes in November, has moved on from this kind of thriller, he says, in his two or three latest films, including one called Lust Stories, and exploring another favourite theme, sexuality. Remaining anchored in Indian contemporary issues, but this time I hear for the first time in a Kashyap movie, in Man Marziyan, there are even dancing numbers. Here's Anurag Kashyap.
I like to explore violence and the nature of it, the psychology of it. The fact is, I can't see blood. I see blood, I faint. But I have this thing with violence because I do not like the kind of a gratifying violence that we see in movies, which people like to imitate, which is like the superhero violence. I don't like that at all because violence is painful. It's repelling. It's extreme in all kinds of things. But we make violence so palatable. We make violence like burgers, you know. Violence, we don't see the true nature of violence and we try to copy it and we all want to be superheroes because we see that. So I have an obsession with violence. Growing up in India, I also have an obsession with sexuality because we don't discuss that. I have an obsession with religion. I have an obsession with a lot of things that Indian cinema, we don't do that. So this film for me, it kind of became a parable to what is India now since 2014. the kind of polarization that is. So, and the beef ban happened and the cow vigilantism started. And suddenly in the name of the cow, in the name of religion, people can kill anyone. The prejudice that we had learned to live with and to deal with, now suddenly that prejudice is so empowered that it has surfaced. And that prejudice gives us a license to kill. And it's happening across the country. I get affected by things that are happening around me. And I try to find a way to put it out in the movies. I want things to be talked about, discussed. I want things to shock people sometimes because I like to make people uncomfortable. And I think that makes them think.
You're incredibly active. I think you have 3 feature films, all date stamped 2018. Mm-hmm. You have TV series. You're as a producer also. Can you tell us a little bit about all those and how you managed to fit all this into, 12 months?
I just work nonstop. It's not really 12 months. It came out this year. So I started shooting the movie Brawler, which was about everything that's wrong with sports in India, which I started shooting in February last year. And it premiered at TIFF. But after I finished shooting that film, I immediately got into my series, which is Sacred Games. And after I finished Sacred Games, I shot another movie, which was Husband Material. And in between, I shot a film, which was a part of an anthology called Lust Stories for Netflix. And at the moment...
Lust Stories, not Love Stories.
Lust Stories. For me, love stories, every film in India is a love story. We wanted to explore aspects of love, and mostly from the female point, the women point of view. And
that's a big issue at the moment in Indian cinema, isn't it? It's something that's being pursued.
We don't really explore sexuality. We kind of push it in the carpet. Sexuality is like not really the true nature of sexuality, the embarrassing aspects of it. The aspects of it that embarrass us because we are conditioned by our own Indianness.
That's changing now, though. It's part of it's almost a trend, we might say.
It is changing in the cities, not small town. The problem with the middle class morality is a problem. The elite in India explore their sexuality the way they want to because they're not judged. And they don't care if they're judged. The poor are too poor to be judged. It's the middle class, which is the larger part of India, that extremely self-conscious, that doesn't talk about it, that doesn't explore it.
Women in cinema and films about women in cinema and more open films about women are happening now in India.
It is. There are lots of amazing women filmmakers who have come forward, like Leena Yadav, who made Past. There is Alankrita Srivastav, who made Lipstick Under My Burqa. There's Zoya Akhtar, Reema Gakhti. There are a lot of women making movies now in India, and they are going full throttle.
Do you feel threatened?
Not at all.
I suspected you might say that, actually, because you're not really working in the same realm of cinema, are you? They're very different sorts of films.
They're very different sorts of films, and plus it's also that it creates a kind of a healthy atmosphere and debate. And it's been such a great thing because, suddenly people are getting aware of things. People are understanding. There's a sense of fear, definitely, amongst the powerful men. There's a kind of a shift of power, and there's an understanding of power, what comes with it and what actually doesn't come with it, but we took it for granted. There's a lot that's changing, and there's also a larger portion of people who are in denial of it. Everybody's waiting for it to fizzle it out. Everybody's saying it's fizzling out. But the thing is, it definitely has made a very strong change.
My thanks to Alicia Rorvacher and Anurag Kashyap, and thank you for listening to Cinefile number 20. Next time, we'll be talking about British actor Rupert Everett's directorial debut, The Happy Prince, about the later part of the life of Irish poet Oscar Wilde, and a new French team making waves in Los Angeles with We the Coyotes. So until then, from me, Roslyn Hyams, goodbye.
Take 87.
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
On est pas bien là? Hein?